Up today's Daf Nun Vav. Today's Daf is sponsored by Bruchi and Kenny Norensberg, Lezech Nishmas Moshe Dov Ben Shol Pinchas, Shabbos Shav and Aliyah. So we are on the last line of Nun Hei Amud Beis, continuing our discussion of certain individuals who, you know, on the outside it appears as though they sinned, but the Gemara gives certain terutzim to make it seem as though they did not sin. As to why the Gemara does that, lots of ink is spilled, but let's read the next one. So the next one is Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan. Kol ha'omer b'nei Shmuel chatu. Whoever says that the sons of Shmuel sinned, what would their sin have been? Rashi says, b'mekach shocha v'tiyaz din. That they would take bribery and pervert justice. Right? They would get judges. Right? Eino elatoa. They are mistaken. Really, they did not take bribery. Shenemar. As the Pasuk says, this is in Shmuel Aleph. The way we have it in here, it doesn't seem right. The Pasuk really reads, Vayhi kasher zaken Shmuel. So when Shmuel got older, his sons did not follow his path. I'm not sure how old Shmuel got, because Shmuel died when he was young, right? He was like 52 or something like that. So the Gemara says, they just didn't follow in his footsteps. I mean, Shmuel was as great as Moshe Aaron, so they just didn't follow in his footsteps as being that great. But michtanami lochatu, but they didn't. They didn't sin. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, the Pasuk seems to say that they did sin. Elamani Mekayim, how do I explain the Pasuk that says, Vayatu acharei habetza, you know, they turned their heads, you know, for monetary gain. The Pasuk continues, Vayichu shochad, and they took bribery, Vayitu mishpat, and they perverted justice. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, no, Shelo asu kemasa aviyam. They didn't do what their father did. Shai Shmuel atzadik mechazer b'kol mekom shisrael v'danos on barayim. Shmuel was a traveling, you know, he was the traveling circuit judge. He would go from place to place and judge people in their place. He wouldn't have everyone come to him. Right, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'halach midei shana b'shana, he would go every year, he would travel, v'savav b'sel v'gigal v'mitzvah v'shafatas Yisrael, and he would travel around the Gilgal, around the mitzvah, and he would judge b'nei Yisrael, and the Pasuk continues, eskola mekomos elin, all their places. So he would go around and judge everybody in their places. V'heim lo asu kein, but b'nei Shmuel didn't do that. Elo yashvu ba'areyem, they sat in their own towns, and they judged there. Why? Because they had people on their payroll, and they wanted the people on their payroll to get paid. Right, so their shamish could get paid, ula sofraim, and their sofra could get paid. I guess write down the judgments, so people are going to get paid for what's going on. So they were the ones who Bnei Shmuel did it in their town, so that their people could reap the benefits, can reap the payments. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara says kitanai. It's a machlok. Seems to be saying that it's a machlokas tanoim as to whether or not Bnei Shmuel sinned or not. Because Brisa says the pasuk says vayetu acharei habetza, that they turned for monetary gain. Rabbi Meir says that Bnei Shmuel did not sin. What did they do? They chelkam sha'alu b'fihem. They were levim, and what they would do is they would demand or request that people give the ma'aser rishon to them. Normally, a person give the Maaser Rishon to whomever, whichever Levi he wants. They asked or requested that the Maaser Rishon be given to them, and since they were, I guess, the Gedolei Hador, since they were, you know, they were the judges, they were Shmuel's children, so people didn't have the gall or the chutzpah to not give it to them, and would always give the Maaser to them, and therefore Aniyim who were poor or Aniyim who needed it wouldn't get anything. But it's not like they took anything that wasn't technically theirs. But they didn't, so in other words, they sinned, but they didn't pervert justice in the sense they didn't take bribery. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says, what was their sin? It was milai heitilu al balei batim. What they would do is they would invest with people, right? And they would invest Rashi says milai heitilu al balei batim notim lehem from gematia. They would give them business la sokba. To deal with their business, they would invest with people. And because they were investors in people's businesses, when these people came in front of them to judge, so they would pervert justice because they would give them a favorable eye because they were their partners, and therefore there was a sin. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kupa Yisera Shel Meiser Nutlu Bizroa. Right, they would take bekoa. They would forcibly take meiser from people as opposed to asking them. They would forcibly take it. Rabbi Yossi Omer matnos not lubazora. They wasn't necessarily the meiser, but the matnos kuna, like the zroa, the chaim, the kebo, the certain gifts that were given to the kohanim off of the animals. They would take it, even though they weren't kohanim. So this brayser, even though I think this gives us an entree to say that, you know, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says that they didn't sin, but there seems to be a machlokes tanaim as to whether they sinned or not. So maybe that idea, that this idea that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani is saying that, you know, people didn't sin, it could just be, you know, individual shita. It may not be l'chol adeos. Now we get to the most difficult one, which is David. Right, the Gemara is continual about tzaddikim who apparently sinned. It's this maisa of David and Batsheva from the pashas of the psukim in Sefer Shmuel. It seems that David had bia with Batsheva prior to the death of Uriah, her husband, and that's sinful, right? Because of the fact that he had bia with an ashes ish, so the Gemara is going to justify that he didn't really sin. So the Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Amar of Yonasan, he says, Kol ha'omer David chata, whoever says that David sinned and violated the isser of Ashes Ish when he had beer with Batsheva, eino elatoa. He's just mistaken. And this is why it's very difficult. His proof text, the Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayhi David l'chol d'rachav maskil v'ashem yol. David was righteous and he was successful in all his ways, and God is with him. Efshar chet bali yado v'shechina imo. Is it possible that David sinned and the Shechina is with him? So twofold. Number one, yes, you could do tshuva. Number two, but even more so, where is this pasuk? This pasuk is in Shmuel Aleph, right? This pasuk is talking about during the times of Shaul, which is 30, 40 years before, a couple of years before this, maybe 25 years, whatever it is. It's years before, and you're using this as the proof to show that, so maybe it just means at that time, David was so righteous, and that's why Hashem was with him, and that's why he was going to take over from Shaul. But this is, that pasuk is in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, and then the whole thing that happened with Batsheva is in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. It's a long time. So the proof that they're using is difficult. So Elamah, right, so the Gemara is going to eventually, no, you're correct. Neither were any of these, neither was Bnei Eli. So when they say didn't sin, I think what it means is that the pashas of the psukim makes it sound like they did a really egregious transgression. Yeah, I hear. Could be. And then that gives us another entree to say that maybe this is not L'chol HaDeos. So, Ella Ma'ani Mikayim, so the Gemara says that he didn't sin when it came to this thing for Batsheva. So what about after the whole Maisa, you have the story of Nasan HaNavi comes and gives David the mashal, the parable about a poor person who has one sheep that he loves, and then the rich person comes and takes the sheep, and David HaMelech says, and he says, what's the person's punishment? And David HaMelech says, well, the real punishment for that is you steal someone's sheep and you shechta, you have to pay four or five times. David says he's b'chayiv misa, whatever, so he says you're that person. So Nasan HaNavi gives him musar about it, and you have to read the psukim. So Elamani Makayim, how do I read the words? If David HaMelech didn't really sin with Batsheva, how do we read the words that Nasan HaNavi says? Number one, Madua Bazisa es Tevar Hashem Laros Hara Be'enai. Why did you do the wrong in the eyes of Hashem? I mean, you did wrong. Madua Bazisa es Tevar Hashem. That's what he's saying to him. So the Gemara says, no. Be Kesh La'asos V'lo Asa. David wanted to, he had the intent to do it, But he really didn't. Rashi says, Bikesh Lishkov Ima Kodem Shekibla Get. He wanted to lie with her prior to her receiving a get. Shahaya Ba'ala Sholeach La Minha Milchama. So, because why? This goes into the whole thing. Because what happened was, husbands would send, we'll see this in a moment, husbands would send her a get when they were by war. Sheim Yamos Lo Tiskog Yivam. Right? There was this, according to Rashi, there was this conditional get. There's this whole idea that you had this conditional get that if you're taken prisoner or if you die, if you don't come back from battle after a certain time, you're going to be considered divorced retroactively. So therefore, David wanted to have beer with her when she wasn't divorced, but she really was divorced. He didn't have, you know, that's number one. So Amar Rav now says, Rebbe, now this is fascinating, the Asimi David, Rebbe, who is a offspring of David HaMelech, Mehapech v'dorish b'zechusei de David. He goes out of his way, turns things upside down, and makes drushas in order to define zechushim for David and Melech. So I'm not sure whether this means this is done, you know, to say that, you know, listen, Rebbe, because Rebbe was from the generation from the Yichus of David and Melech, therefore he made the effort to find the psukim that shows in reality David did his sin. Or maybe it's Lignai and saying that, listen, the only reason why he's doing this is because he's from the offspring of David Melech. I think it can be read both ways. So I'm a Rav, Rebbe the Asim with David, Mahapik with Darish B'schuk say to David, right? And it continues, Nasar Navi said, Madua Bazis says Devar Hashem Lasos Hara. Why did you do something terrible and about, you know, and you disgraced the words of Hashem to do evil? So Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Mishuna Ra'a Zom, we call Rosh HaTorah. The words Ra'a here, I guess it's different than all the other times it says Ra'a in the Torah. Shekol Ro'a Shabbatorah Ksiv Bo Vayas. In all other places it says Vayas Hara. Someone did evil. The words Vayas. Dichan Ksiv, and here it says La'asos, which is a different tense, I guess. So Shabikesh La'asos Velo Asa. He wanted to do, he had the intent to do, but he didn't do it in the end. So then the Gemara continues with the Musar of Nasan and Navi, and Nasan continues and says, "As Uriah Hachiti he kisa b'cherev, you basically killed Uriah Hachisi. You sent him to the front lines that he would, so he for him to get killed." So Gemara says, "No, he didn't really kill him. What it really was is shahay lecha ledono basanhedrin velo danta. Really, Uriah was morid b'malchus. We're going to see later that he rebelled against the king." So really, you should have taken them to Sanhedrin, but you didn't. You didn't judge them by himself. Tosos asks right away, "Shai lecha laduna b'Sanhedrin." He says, "Kashalari tatosos to perkam de megillah. I'm reading gabe novel de mor b'malchus lo by lemidine. You don't have to bring them to court. The king has the right. The king has the right away to slaughter him on the spot." So Tosos says, "No, it's not exactly that. What it means is that, you know, a lot of times when you have dine misa, you give the people the benefit of the doubt. You go through drisus hakiros, all these extra things to try to find limud schusim that you didn't. The king doesn't have to do, but he does still have to bring him to court." Okay. Next, ves ishto lekafta lechali isha. The pasuk says, "His wife you took for a wife," meaning when you took an ashes ish. Lekafta means that you took her. So he says, "No, what it means is lekuchin yesh lechaba. You really had the right to take her. Why do you have the right? Because the Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan, Kol Hayotzei L'Melchemes Beis David, Kosa Gres Krisa L'Ishto. Whoever went out to battle would write this get before they went to battle." Rashi says it was a get al tanai, meaning that if I don't come back from battle at a certain time, then there will be the divorce. Tosa says it can't be a get al tanai because there's a machlokus in Maseches Gittin. If there's a get al tanai, what is the status of the woman during that time? So there are shitos that say that during that time period, she's considered an Eishes Gemura. So if he has been with her before the actual Misa, she's still an Eishes Gemura. So Tosos says it was really a full-fledged get. So if it was a full-fledged get, you know, what's the issue? What's really the issue? So quoting, there's actually a Rashba in Pesuvos that says it was full-fledged get, but to marry somebody who had, or to take somebody who had this get wasn't the right thing, because the whole purpose of the get was only that the woman wouldn't become an aguna. And the idea was, the intent was to marry them back. So basically, you're taking away the halachic violation, you're moving it into a moral violation, that what he did was still incorrect, according to the Rashba, because there was this yes, it wasn't Eishes Ish, but it wasn't the erlich thing to do. So that's what takes care of that pasuk from Nasan Rashi. Then Nasan continues, how do we know that they used to give gittin to their wives? The pasuk says this is the place, this is when Yishai tells David, and when David's young, when he sends him to Shaul's camp and he sends him to check in on his brothers, Yishai says, "Vesaseres charitzei hachalav asher tavi l'sar elav, bring all this milk. Vesachecha tifcha l'shalom vesarubasam tikach." He goes and go check to your brothers their peace and take their aruba. What's arubasam? My arubasam. Tani Rav Yosef says, "Devarim hamu'uravim beino lebeino." Arubasam is a mixture, those things that connect him and her. So go take from them the things that connect from him and her, which means take from them the get. Okay. Then Rebbe continues to explain the what Nasan HaNavi said. He says, "Well, so harakta b'cher b'nei Amon," right, that you killed him, right? It says you killed him, like you killed Amon. You killed Uriah. So Gemara says, no, what it means is, "Macher b'nei Amon iyat anena shalav." Just like the people who b'nei Amon that you killed, you're not going to be punished. "Af Uriah chiti iyat anena shalav." So to the Uriah chiti, you're not going to be punished for killing him. My time, what's the reason why you're not going to be punished for killing Uriah? Because Morir Machos Hava, because he rebelled against the king. Right, the Amr Lay, because what happened was, it happened to the Psukim, is that David sleeps with Bathsheba, and then when Uriah comes back, he wants to send Uriah back to the home, back to the house, to Bathsheba, so he can sleep with her, because if she's pregnant, he won't know who the parents, the father was. But Uriah says, "I'm not going back. How can I go back? All my friends are in battle. How can I go back?" So what does Uriah say? This actually seems to be Uriah was, Nosen Ol Chaverov. He wouldn't go, right? The Pasuk says that the full pasuk is right. Aaron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda Yoshen v'Sukkos. The Aaron and Bnei Yisrael are all sitting in Sukkos. V'Adoni Yoav, and my master Yoav, va'abdei Adoni, and the servants of my master Yoav, al pnei asad echonim, they're gonna go there, va'niya, and the pasuk continues, ani avo el beisi lechol v'lishtos v'shchevish ishti, and I'm gonna go back to my house to sit, to eat, and drink, and to have relations with my wife, chayecha v'chaynav shi yemeses varzeh. No way, I swear, I won't do that. So there's a machlokas Rashi Tosas. So where's the Mor b'machlos? Tosas is simple. The Mor b'machlos is David said to go home. He didn't go home. Rashi says the reason is because he said Adoni Yoav. In the presence of the king, he called somebody else his master. Right? Nevertheless, the Gemara seems to say that he was Mor b'machlos. Therefore, he was worthy of death, and that's why David won't be punished for his killing. So Amar Rav. Rav says, Ki me'anta be David. When you would pay attention to the Maisim of David, lo mishpachas be bar midu Uriah. Right? When you find, look at the Maisim of David, you're not going to find any sin except for the fact that he caused the death of Uriah. But specifically the death of Uriah, but Rak Bidvar Uriah Hichtin. Hichiti. Right? Only when it comes to Uriah, but not Bathsheba, is the diak that they're making. It only comes to Uriah and not Bathsheba. So I mean, it's just difficult. Like they says, Kolo, the Abarbanel when he goes to explain this whole Maise in Navi, right? It was said that Kolo Omer Shadavi Lochatu Eino Elatoa. The Abarbanel writes, Ani Min Hatoim. I'm from those who are mistaken. Right? That Abarbanel says that, and then there's Gemaras in Ksubas, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I think it's Mem Kuv Zayin talks about that David seems to lean on the sign that David did do an Avera. It may just be a machlokas as to whether David did not. But I think it's important to understand, even if assuming that David did something wrong. So that I saw an article, I'll post it on the site later, from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who says that, like it's typical in Rav Aaron Lichtenstein fashion, everything is nuanced. He says, we generally find within the Jewish world two extreme and opposing approaches to the problem about whether Gedolim sin. He says, you have secular Jews who adopt approach of the Enlightenment and biblical criticism, which relates to the Gedol Yisrael as ordinary people. And on the other hand, you find the religious camp says that the Gedol Yisrael is superhuman and infallible. He says, we have to adopt a different approach. On the one hand, we cannot overlook the sins of Gedol Yisrael, but at the same time, we may not look at these sins in isolation from their specific context. Right? King David certainly sinned, as clearly evidenced by the prophet Nathan's harsh critique, and David's own confession, which is in Tehillim, Nun Aleph, is all David's confession about his sins. But nevertheless, nevertheless, we have to relate to these Gedolim in the same manner that Chazal does. Just as we have a tradition in Halacha, so too we have a tradition regarding these matters. Just as we do not deviate one iota from Chazal's specifications regarding these four species on Sukkos, so we may never stray from their approach towards the personality of King David. Even if they sinned, that sin can't diminish in our eyes their greatness and their godless. It could be, we can't relate to them as superhumans, but we're still dealing with human beings, but we're dealing with great human beings, people who are at a level that's, beyond us. And just because, even if you be of the opinion that they did do something wrong, whatever it is that they did wrong, it's not like you or I doing something wrong. It's on their level. That's just the nuance that Rav Aaron points out. Okay. We gotta finish the parrot, so we're gonna go weiter. You got to look at the context. I think it's the second thing. I think that's what he's saying. I didn't do it, but everyone seems to quote the Mizmor Tehillim, Perek Nun Aleph, which is apparently David's confession. So I have to look at that to see what it is. I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, I know that it only opened because David was still great. I mean, even if he did sin, so he's a tremendous Baal Tshuva. You learn tremendous amounts of Tshuva from that, and the greatness and the heights that you can attain if you do proper Tshuva. I don't know. It's difficult. I think it's just you have to figure out what was done. Figure out why the Chachamim or some of them are so adamant to say that he didn't sin. Why are so adamant to say that he did sin? We'll continue. You see here, Abayi Kshisha Rami Derav Adarav. Abayi Kshisha asked a stira on Rav. He says, "Mi Amar Rav Hachi? Did Rav really say that the only sin that David and Melech had was the sin of Uriah Hiti, right? V'ha amarav kibol David lashon hara. That David accepted lashon hara. So here he's saying that David, you know, there's another sin that David might have done. He accepted lashon hara. So that would be akasha. Now, where did David accept lashon hara? So gufa, Rav Amar kibol David lashon hara. David accepted lashon hara on who? Rav apparently Rav says that David accepted lashon hara on Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was Yonasan's son. He was actually a cripple. And he was actually absolutely no threat to the kingdom. He's actually a pretty good guy, Mephibosheth, if you go throughout Tanakh. And originally, when David took over, he ran away. So the pasuk says, that David asked Tziva, who's Shaul's servant, wanted to know where Mephibosheth was, because David wants to find him. So Vayomer lo hamelech efahu, where is Mephibosheth? Vayomer Tziva el hamelech, and Tziva says to the king, hinehu beis machir ben Amiel below Davar. He says he's in the house of Machir ben Amiel, and it Gemara says it low is with an aleph or a vav. So below Davar means he's there, but if you read it with an aleph, means below Davar means he has nothing, he has no qualities. He's below Davar, he doesn't know anything. In reality, Mephibosheth was a pretty big Talmud Chacham. So below Davar, right? At least that he has nothing. So he spoke this individual, Tziva, speaks Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth. And Iksiv, it says afterwards, Vayishlach HaMelech David, Vayichichei Mibes Machir Amiel, Milo Davar. He takes him from the house filled with things, Milo Davar. So the Gemara is basically, and David HaMelech brings Mephibosheth to the palace, he lets him sit at the king's table, he eats with the king. David HaMelech is very, very generous to Mephibosheth. Number one, he doesn't just want to kill him, it's his best friend Yonasan's son. So the Gemara says, Michtei, Chazi Deshakra Havah. David HaMelech saw that this Tziva was a liar, because he said that Mephibosheth doesn't know anything, in reality Mephibosheth is a big Talmud Chacham. So therefore, if he knows that he's a liar, ki hadar alshin alave, so then later on, when Tziva lies about Mephibosheth again, my tamei kiblimine, why does he accept that language, why does he accept that? Why does he accept that lashon hara? Where is that? This is at the end, later on, after the merit of Avshalom. I love these Gemaras, I had to go look through Tanakh. So after the merit of Avshalom, so David wants to find, a lot of people stay back in Yerushalayim. So David wants to find these people. So Vayomer HaMelech, right, the Melech says, the Aye ben Odonecha, where is your master? Where is Mephibosheth? He says to Tziva, Vayomer Tziva el HaMelech, hinehu Yoshev Yerushalayim. He's sitting in Yerushalayim, right? Because and main part is, he continues, ki amar hayom yashivu li beis Yisrael malchus avi. Because this Tziva says that Mephibosheth said, I'm waiting for the outcome so I can take over as king, which is completely out of character for Mephibosheth. He had no desires ever to be the king. He couldn't have been a king. He was a cripple. Even today, except for FDR, you never see a leader who's a cripple. It just doesn't really happen. So this Tziva says that Mephibosheth is waiting for David's downfall so he can take over. Uminolon the kibumine, so having David accepted and believed Tziva, Diksiv, because the pasuk says, Vayomer HaMelech Letziva, hinei lecha kol hashem Mephibosheth. David HaMelech gives over to Tziva all of the property of Mephibosheth, which is all the property of Yonasan, which is all the property of Shaul. He gives him a lot of stuff. So Vayomer Tziva, and Tziva says, Yishtachavisiem sachem beinecha, then HaMelech, I'll buy down, I found favor in your eyes. So you see that David believed the Lashon Hara that Tziva said. Right? So Shmuel Amar lo kibel David Lashon Hara. Shmuel says, no, it wasn't Lashon Hara. He didn't, because then Devarim Hanikarim Chazabei, because Shmuel saw that what Tziva was saying was actually true, right? Tiksev, because the pasuk says after Avshalom kills and David comes back, he says, "And Mephibosheth ben Shaul Yara Likras Hamelach." Mephibosheth comes down to greet the king. Veloasa Regala, Veloasa Sifamovas, Beglav Lochi Beis. He doesn't stand up. He doesn't groom himself, he's unshaven, he doesn't change his clothing, he doesn't shower, he comes in all disheveled in front of the king, which is not something he's supposed to do. So Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Vayhi kivayu Yerushalayim l'kras HaMelech, when he comes to Yerushalayim, Vayomer lo HaMelech, lama lo halachti mi Mephibosheth, why did you come with me, Mephibosheth? Why did you come leave the city with me? Why did you stay here? It makes it seem that you wanted to stay in Yerushalayim, and you were happy with me leaving. Vayomer Adoni HaMelech, Abdi Rimani, he says, my master, my servant tricked me, ki amar abdecha ech b'shali chamor v'erkav eleha v'elechas HaMelech. I said, let's saddle up the donkey and let me ride in it, you know, because he can't walk, let me ride in it and we'll go to the king, ki piseich abdecha, because I'm lame. Vayargel ba'abdecha el Adoni HaMelech, right, and he tricked me and told me not to go. V'Adoni HaMelech, k'malach alkim v'aseh tov b'enecha. So he says, and you're the king, you're the malach, whatever you decide to do, I'll accept it. V'yom lo HaMelech, lam t'daber od b'recha, don't speak anymore. Amarti atav t'yivat t'chakul asadeh. I'm going to split the field. I'll give you back 50% of your field. V'yom Mephibosheth HaMelech, gam it's kol yikach acharei asher bo Adoni HaMelech, b'shalom al-beisa. You know what, if you want to give me 50%, you can take it all. I don't need any of it. So there was this apparent conversation between Mephibosheth and David, that David recognized that there was something amiss with Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. So Amar Lo, Mephibosheth says to him, Ani amarti masai tavo b'shalom v'tav salikach. I want to know when you were coming back in peace, and this is what you do to me. You take away 50% of my property. Lo alecha yesh li taromese ela al misha v'icha ol t'shalom. I don't have any beef with you. I beef with the Kodesh Baruch Hu who brought you back in peace. So you see that there was this idea that Mephibosheth really was not, according to the way the Gemara is learning it, that Mephibosheth maybe had a little bit of a taina against David Melech, so David Melech on his own recognized that Mephibosheth was not as righteous, so to speak. So it's not that he believed Tziva, but he knew it on his own. So therefore, according to Shmuel, he did not accept Lashon Hara. So Gemara then continues, this is what the Pasuk says, this is in Divrei Yomim, when it discusses the children of Yonasan, it says, Uben Yonasan Miriv Baal. The son of Yonasan's name is Miriv Baal. The Chimiriv Baal Shemo is his name Miriv Baal, Baal Mephibosheth Shemo. His name was Mephibosheth. Ela Mitosha Asa Miriva in Baalov. He's called Miriv Baal because he made a fight, he made a quarrel with his master. And Yatsa Baskal Va'amra, Baskal came out and says, Va'amra lo Netza Bar Netza. You are the Netza Bar Netza. What Netza means, like a quarreler, I believe. So what is he? He's a quarreler, the son of the quarreler. Netza Hadamron, that is, he quarrels is because of what he did. Bar Netza, the Bar Netza is not talking about his father, it's talking about his grandfather, talking about Shaul. This is about Shaul. It says, Vayavo Shaul al Ira Malik, Vayarev Benachal. Shmuel, when he came to fight the Amalekim, he fights them in the valley. Amar Avmani al Iskei Nachal. He was fighting about Iskei Nachal. I mean, Shaul HaMelech did not want to kill all the Amalekim. And he's in the Nachal. What's by the Nachal? The Nachal is also the case of the Egla Rufa. And Shaul HaMelech says, if we're so concerned about one life that we do this whole process of Egla Rufa, all the more so we should be concerned about the lives of all these men, women, and children and sheep that you want me to kill. So he also quarreled about the halacha about Amalek, so they call him Mephibosheth, Netza Bar Netza. Again, the pasuk pshat and the psukim is that Mephibosheth is an upstanding, righteous guy. So the Gemara interprets things differently than the pshat, and Shivan Panam Torah, and each one has to be emes in its own way. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Vishasha Bar David Mephibosheth, Satava Tziva Techalkos Hasadeh. At the time that David HaMelech tells Mephibosheth that you're going to split the field, which the Gemara now seems to be saying that David HaMelech is doing the wrong thing, Yotze Baskal Va'amra, Baskal comes out and says, Rechavam V'yirvavam Yachkol HaMelucha. You're splitting Mephibosheth's fields. Because of that, after the death of Shlomo Melech, Rechavam and Yeravavam are going to split the kingdoms. Which seems to be that it's because that David was the cause, somehow, David was the cause of the kingdom splitting. And Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav, Ilmali Lekhibol David Lashon Hara. Had David not accepted the Lashon Hara, again, this is Rav Shitaso, says that David did accept Lashon Hara. Lo Nechlecha Machlos Beis David, the kingdom of David would not have been split. Velo Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah, and that we wouldn't have had Avodah Zarah, because the whole split, the Avodah Zarah started is because Yeravam put up the gates, wouldn't let anybody go down to Yerushalayim. He put up statues in the Don in the north and on by the borders. He put things up. Velo Galim Martino, that was the cause of Galus. So it seems to be saying that David doing this led to a very, 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 very tragic chain of events. Well, I got to get that out. Chain of events. Okay, the Tosfos just points out also is that this whole thing was based on the fact that someone said that the only sin that David did was with Uriah. And then the Gemara says, oh, but he also accepted Lashon Hara. Tosfos points out, what about the fact that at the end of David's life, he did the whole thing with the census? And he counted all the people, and thousands of people died in the Magefa. But Tosfos points out, the Vanam Nunvav, he says, Kasha ha'ika maisa da hasasa v'reish parak beiz de yoma. That whole story. So the Gemara says, v'yishlomer lo chashiv lei lo havi kol kach avam gadol. Tosfos says, no, they don't count that, because that wasn't such a big sin. I don't know, I thought, whatever. He says, v'gam shogog. And there he's also, it was shogig, it wasn't by mezid. So maybe that's also a difference, Josh, about whether he was chote b'shogig or b'mezid. Again, it's not as very, it's pretty difficult, pretty difficult Gemara's. Okay, Gemara now continues. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kola Omer Shlomo Chata Eino Elatoa. Whoever says that Shlomo sinned by worshipping Avodah Zarah is also mistaken. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, about Shlomo, it says, V'lo haya levavo shalom ima Hashem elokav kilavav David Aviv. It says that his heart wasn't as complete with God as the heart of his father David. Meaning, kilavav David Aviv hu d'lohava. He wasn't as righteous. He wasn't have the same avos and years Hashem that David HaMelech had. But michta nami lochata doesn't mean he was a sinner. He didn't sin. A pasuk pshat means is that he didn't follow the ways of Hashem. So elamad nimikayim. But the beginning of the pasuk said there by hile zikna shlomo nashav hitu es levavo. And the pasuk continues. The Gemara is quoted acharei Elohim acherim, that his wives then seduced him to go follow other gods. So it seems to be in from the pasuk that he did worship. So the Gemara says no. Hahi ki Rabbi Nasan. The pasuk can be explained like Rav Nasan. The Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Nosson asks a kasha, an apparent steer between the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says, "V'hil ezik nashlom nashav hituas levavo acharei l'kim acharim." That this mashma that he did go after avodah zarah. The haksev, the end of the pasuk says, "V'lo hayalavav shalim k'leviv aviv k'levav David aviv who delo havei but mitri lo chata." It just says that he wasn't as righteous as David, but doesn't mean that he sinned. So the first part of the pasuk seems to indicate that he sinned. The second part of the pasuk indicates that he did not sin. So what does that mean? So hachik amar. This is what the intent of the pasuk is. By he ate zikna shlomo nashav hituat levavo la leches acharei l'kilim acharim. They were trying to convince him that he should follow the other gods la leches v'lo halach, but he didn't. Meaning he had thoughts of it to do it, but he didn't do it. In the end, he didn't do it. Mara says, wait, how does that mean? How's that possible? V'haksev, the pasuk says, az yivne shlomo bama lichmosh shukatz moev. Shlomo apparently builds a bama, builds an altar for the idol kemosh shukatz moav. So it's not, that's after they. After they try to convince him, the pasuk says he built a bama. Seems to be that he was convinced. So the Gemara says, no, bikesh livnos velo bana. He wanted to, but in the end he didn't. So elamayat, so that the Gemara says, wait a second. The words yivne indicates that you built. And how will I prove that? Because what about by Yeshua? The pasuk by Yeshua says, az yivne Yeshua mizbeich Hashem. Then Yeshua was yivne, an altar to Hashem. Does that also mean bikesh livnos velo bana? It doesn't mean that. He says, Yivne means he built it. Ela debana, hachanami debana. We know that Yeshua built it. Now you know Yeshua built it. Archaeologists claim that they found this Mizbeach. Right? So he built a Mizbeach Lashem. So Yivne means he built. So by Shlomo, Yivne means he built. So what does it mean Bikesh didn't? So Ela kidatanya. Rather, this from another pasuk we can learn that Shlomo Melech did not worship Avodah Zarah, because it says in a brisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, so this is talking about Yoshiyahu Melech. In Malachim Beis, Yoshiyahu Melech leads a tshuva movement, and he gets rid of all the avodah zarah in Eretz Yisrael or Eretz Yehuda. And it says, "Es habamos asher al pnei Yerushalayim," and the bamos that are facing Yerushalayim, asher mimin laharim mishcha, that are the east of Har Mishcha, which is probably like Har Zaisim, asher bana Shlomo Melech Yisrael ashteros shikutzidonim, that which Shlomo Hamelech built. Right, and so he sees that he built it. So Efshar, so the Gemara says, wait a second, what is going on? Because what's his name? Yoshiyahu is destroying Bamos, but he's not the first king to come destroy Bamos. Before Efshar bar Asa v'lo bi'iram, is it possible that Asa came and didn't destroy the Bamos that Shlomo apparently built, or Yoshafat v'lo bi'iram? Yoshafat also destroyed Bamos, and he didn't. Acheva Yoshiyah bi'iram, it had to wait till Yoshiyah came to destroy these Bamos. V'lo kol avodah zarah shev Yisrael, Asa v'yoshafat bi'iram. They destroyed all the avodah zarah in Eretz Yisrael. Ela mekish rishonim lachronim. Rather, what we're doing is you're comparing the rishonim of Shlomo HaMelech lachronim to the end of Yoshiyahu. Ma achronim lo asu v'talav behen l'shvach. Just like the achronim, meaning Yoshiyahu, didn't do what the pasuk says, but we're just giving him credit for doing it. V'talav behen l'shvach. Af rishonim lo asu v'talav v'gnai. So to the rishonim, meaning Shlomo, actually didn't do what it actually says. We're just giving him the credit in a bad sense for doing it. But Gemara says, v'haksiv hayat, so he didn't really do it. We're just saying that he did it because maybe he put himself in certain situations that were not right. V'haksiv, but the pasuk says, v'yash Shlomo harav b'nei Hashem. The pasuk says that Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem. So Ela mipnei shehayilo limchos b'nashav, goes back to the beginning of this whole sugya. He should have protested, right? Like the para of Rav Elazar. He should have protested v'lo micha, but he didn't protest. Ma'alav hakasav ki iluchata. So the pasuk gives him credit, so to speak, as if he did it. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Noach lo la'osu tzadik sheshamash nadavar acher, v'al yikasev bo v'yas harab b'Hashem Hashem, v'yas harab b'nei Hashem. So it would have been better that Shlomo would have been like a servant for the Avodah Zarah. I guess Rashi says that he would have been chopped wood or drew water for them, because those are only tashmish of Avodah Zarah, but then the pasuk to write from Vayasar Rabbi Hashem, I guess it caused him a lot of harm and angst that it was written this way. Okay, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Bishosh, this is also fascinating, Bishosh Nasa Shlomo as Bas Paro. At the time that Shlomo Melech marries Bas Paro, Hechnisalo Elef Minei Zemer, she brought in 1,000 musical instruments, V'amrlo, and says to him, Kach Osim Levodah Zarah Plonis, this is how you worship this Avodah Zarah, V'kach Osim Levodah Zarah Plonis, this is how you worship this Avodah Zarah, V'lo Michaba, and he didn't protest. He should have just said, get out. But he didn't. Some Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'shosh Shenasa Shlomo as Bas Paro, at the time that Shlomo Melech marries Bas Paro, Yorod Gavriel V'noetz Kone Beyam. Gavriel comes down and he puts a sort of a reed or a staff in the sea. V'olo bo sirton, and around that staff constantly dirt gathers. right? Va'alav nivne krach gadol sheromi, and that's where Rome ends up being built. I mean, that's so. Shlomo Melech is around 10th century BCE. Even according to the Romans, they believe that their city was built about 200, 300 years later. It's just an idea that your actions have repercussions. Your actions have in the sense that this was a cause for Rome. The Masnisa Tana in the Brisa they learned also Hayom Shehichnis Yeravam Shnei Egle Zav, when Yeravam put two golden calves, Achas beBeis El, one in Beis El, and Achas beDan, and one in Dan, Nivnet Srif Echad. One hut start what was built on that area, and that's Italia of Yavon, Italy of Greece, which makes sense actually because Greece, you know, Italy took over from Greece. That was the whole process. So again, so Shlomo HaMelech's misdeed caused the foundation of Rome to be built, and Yeravam's misdeed now causes Rome to even start to be built, and that whole process ends up leaving to the Galus that we're still in today. Okay, Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar of Yosha, Kol Omer Yoshiyahu Chata. Whoever says that Yoshiyahu sinned, Eino Elech Toa. He's also mistaken. Shneimar, because the pasuk says about Yoshiyahu, Vayas Hayosher Beinei Hashem, Vayelech Bechol Derech David Aviv VeLosar Yod Yaminu Smol. He did everything right, and therefore he didn't sin. He didn't deviate right or left. Ella, so if Yoshiyahu didn't sin, Ma Ani Mekayim. What about the pasuk that says, V'chamohu Lo Hayelafun of Melech Asher Shav? Right, El Hashem Echol Avav Echol Nasu Echol Odo Echol Toras Moshe V'Acharav Lo Kamo. It says that Yoshiyahu was a tremendous Baal Tshuva. Well, the only way to be a Baal Tshuva is if you sin beforehand. So how can you say that Yoshiyahu never sinned if you did a Baal Tshuva? I thought the answer is simple. Because once you're a Baal Tshuva, you're not supposed to remind a Baal Tshuva about his previous misdeeds. He's a Baal Tshuva, so it takes over from that. But Gemara doesn't go that way. He says, so it seems to indicate that he did sin. It says that, so Gemara says, no, as follows. What is it? Because it says Shav. So we think Shav means that he did Tshuva. No, rather it means, Shekol din shedan mi ben shmona vat shmonesrei. Any judgment that Yoshiyahu made from the time he was 8 years old, which is when he became king, until he was 18, which right away begs the question, how can he be judging when he's a minor? But okay. So any judgment that he made from the time that he was 8 to the time that he was 18, hechazir lehen, he was shav, he returned. He went back to the litigant and returned their money. So Shema Tomer, you might think, not only Zed, Nasan Lazeh, you might think, oh, maybe what he did was he reviewed his caseload, saw where he made a mistake, and then took from one person and gave to the other person if he had made a mistake. No, Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Bechoma Odo, from his own money, Shenasil Hemishalo. No matter who was, anyone who judged from the age of 8 to 18, he went into his own pocket and gave him back the money, probably because he shouldn't have been judging from the age of 8 till 18. So that's what it means for Shav. Doesn't mean that he did Shav from Averos. It was Shav that he returned money that he took from litigants. Upliga de Rav, and Rav Yonasan here argues on Rav, because according to Rav, I guess Yoshiyahu did sin. To Amarav, Ein lecha gadol bebali tshuva yosher miyoshiyahu bedoro. There's no one bigger bal tshuva in the world, I guess, than Yoshiyahu was in his generation. The echa bedorenu, and somebody else in our generation. So who is this one bal tshuva in their generation? Umanu, who's this bal tshuva? Abba, avua de Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. It's Abba, the father of Rav Yirmiyah, the son of Abba. So I guess it's the grandfather, all right, of... Right, the Amri Le, and some say Acha Chuda Abba Avud Rav Yirmiyah was his brother. Right, the Amar Mar Rabbi Acha Acha Chuhavi, they were brothers. So one of these two were tremendous Baal Yeshuva. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, "Va'od Echa B'Darinu." There's another one in our generation. Umanu, who's that? That's Ukvan Bar Nechemya Reish Galusa. It's Ukva the son of Nechemya, who's the Reish Galusa. Vahenu, who's called Nasan Ditzutzisa. He's called Nasan of the Sparks. Tzisa of the Sparks. Rashi says, "Hashem Nitzutzin Dinura." Right, Shamalach Pashas Yodov Kibul Chuvaso, that there was some sort of like Karen or he had some sort of sparks around him because he did tshuva. Right, Amar Rav Yosef, Hainu Yisivna Bepirka, I was sitting and learning, Vahavikam Minamna, and I was dozing off. The Chazi Bechilman, I saw in a dream, they got Pashat Yodov Kibli. The Malach came out, stuck out his hand, and accepted the tshuva of Nasan de Tzutzisa. So there's another person with a tremendous Baal Tshuva. So again, here, this seems to be a machlokas as to whether or not Yoshiyahu did sins or not. According to what he did, he's a big Baal Tshuva. According to what he did it, Shav means that he paid back all the people that he judged from the ages that he was 8 to 18. Okay? Hajjanalach, Mabem Behema, Hajjanalach, Mabem Behema, Hajjanalach, Mabem Behema. Pick up later, Menachem, right at 3 o'clock with the next parak.